Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey everybody, Anthony Ponce here, Lyft driver and host of Backseat Rider. Before we get started with this week's episode, Lyft is not a sponsor of the show, has nothing to do with what we talk about, but like all Lyft drivers, I get a promo code for any new users of the Lyft app. And if you use my code, you will get up to $50 in free ride credit, and you'd also be helping me out a lot. And the code is really easy to remember. It's just the name of the podcast, all one word, Backseat Rider. And you just put that into the payment tab when you first sign up for Lyft and take your first ride. The code again is Backseat Rider, all one word, and don't forget to talk to your driver.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
I learned a new vocab word this year, and given the nature of this podcast, I feel like I should have learned the word a long time ago. And the word is quotidian. It's spelled Q-U-O-T-I-D-I-A-N. It sounds really fancy, right? But the Oxford English Dictionary defines quotidian as meaning ordinary or everyday. But it also means mundane. It's got this connotation of being mundane, which is a nuance of the word that really clicked with me. So I like it. So if something's quotidian, it's likely the kind of stuff that rarely gets written about or glorified, like brushing your teeth in the morning or the crack in the sidewalk that you seem to notice every time you walk to the train or the spot where you leave your keys every day to avoid losing them. And the late comic book writer Harvey Pekar, he's famous for writing American Splendor, the comic series. He made a whole career out of putting a magnifying glass on these quotidian aspects of his life. And he once wrote that quotidian life is underemphasized in every form of literature. But he also points out that these little details, they're the things that most readers are familiar with and can most easily relate to. And I'd agree with that and also add that the reason that the quotidian details of our lives don't tend to be written about is this assumption that that kind of shit is inherently uninteresting. I mean, does it add to your life to know that there's this crack in the sidewalk at the corner of Montrose and Damon right near my house that's cracked in such a way it looks like the Greek god Atlas hoisting the world on his shoulders? Or does it add to your life to know that I'm pretty sure my wife and I have been sharing the same toothbrush for a couple months now? I'm not positive. We don't talk about it, but I think that's the case. Or does it enhance your life to know that my mom set out this wooden box in our kitchen specifically so that we can all keep track of our keys? I'm guessing no, doesn't enhance your life, at least not at first glance. But what if these little things, these little tiny details, are also little fibers that have this way of connecting us and also making us feel connected? And if that's the case, maybe they're not worthless. Maybe they have real value. And maybe the fact that they never get talked about means that it could prove worthwhile to do just that, at least for one day, one full day in Chicago. Welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive for Lyft, and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. And for this episode, I want you to imagine a drab weekday in Chicago. It's in the middle of a cold, damp stretch of days to kick off the month of May. Not much sunshine at all. And downtown in the Loop, a lawyer, she's visiting from Wyoming with her boyfriend, wakes up in her hotel room.
No, probably worst moment of every day is waking up and realizing who the president is.
That realization hits her each morning, and even though she's out of town, this morning is no exception. She wasn't dreaming. Donald Trump is the president.
That's pretty much the worst moment of every day, every day.
Now, 7 miles south of her hotel in the South Shore neighborhood, that's right on the lake, a young man is also waking up with a bad realization.
I had a demand that my rent is due. You know, I just opened my eyes and I was like, my rent is due.
Rent is not only due, it's late. It's been due for a week. He's been putting off paying his landlord because his checking account balance is low.
Because I didn't want my account to go low. You understand? I didn't want my account to go low. Even though I had the mindset that, oh, my rent has been due since last week. What am I going to do? But it's just there. You know, when you see your money, there's this joy in you. Like, oh, I still got money in my account. You feel me? But when you take it out, then you got like, out of 800, you take out like 700. Now you have like 100. You're going to, what am I going to do with this? You feel me?
Are you down to 100 right now?
Yeah.
Now, in case that was hard to understand, he said he had 800 bucks to his name when he woke up. His monthly rent is 700, and so when he pays it, he's down to just $100.
You got to stand up and go pay your rent. Like, take the money out. You don't want to be evicted.
On the opposite end of town, the far north side, a 27-year-old sales guy. He works for a steel company. He's also having a rough time getting out of bed.
Just like waking up and having to go to work, and like the realization of that, like, oh man, I got to go to work today.
The weather could have something to do with all this negativity. Sun, clouds, rain seem to kind of be alternating by the hour, totally inconsistent. Still, on this particular day, not everybody is waking up in a bad mood.
Waking up was the best moment of my day. It really was. And it is every morning.
This guy lives downtown. And he's also in sales, but he's 30 years older than the guy who works for the steel company.
I'm on the phone talking to people all over the country about what to do with their lawn.
He says that waking up is his best moment every day, ever since a health scare he had some years back.
About 5 years ago, I went into cardiac arrest, and I was dead. I was dead, man. And so my girl, who I'm going home to, called 911, and they worked on me for about 10 minutes, revived me, and I was young. I never thought it would happen. So
52 years old that happened.
Yeah, 52.
Never thought it would happen because he was always healthy. But from the age of 35 to when the cardiac arrest happened at age 52, he said his weight had been slowly creeping up from 165 pounds up to 230.
My heart gave out after I did a stress test, and the cardiologist said, you know, I got to tell you, the results of this test aren't really good. And so he said, you know, you have two arteries, one's really blocked and one's getting there. And, you know, the one that's really blocked, that's called a widowmaker. And so it was 99% blocked. And so I went in and they put a couple stents in and made me better, made me well again, right, in my mind. But a couple years after that is when I went into cardiac arrest. And I was just sitting at home. I wasn't on a bike. I wasn't doing anything besides maybe getting excited watching a ball game.
He was watching a Bears game when his heart went out.
Did you take away anything from that experience? Like, a lot of people who flatline or have those really near-death experiences come out of it with stories, you know, a tunnel, a light.
No, nothing. Nothing. There was no, you know, I guess I went to purgatory where there's no red and there's no bright light, you know, no heavenly gates.
No heavenly gates, but still life-changing. I mean, he wouldn't have felt what he was feeling on this particular weekday morning without that having happened.
I pray that every morning I wake up and I see the sunshine.
Now, not far away from that man's downtown apartment, a 23-year-old was asleep in his room at his parents' house. The best single moment of today for him?
So I'd say probably waking up, because there's a lot of people that don't have that opportunity to, you know, wake up and, you know, I'm not going to say I live the fanciest life, but, you know, I live a decent life. I have a, you know, I live at home with my parents still, but have food on the table, I have a roof over my head, you know, working down here, you get to see it more than anything. It shocked me when I started is, you know, the amount of homeless people that live like in the streets. I mean, we're passing by them as we're driving.
Yeah, we're on Lower Wacker.
It shocks me. You know, we're in such a fucking nice neighborhood, you know, where there's, you know, $500,000, $600,000 apartments, you know, $1,000 hotel rooms. And there's people that, you know, live on the street underneath the bridge, you know.
And when he says working down here, he's referring to downtown Chicago. This guy works in retail at this store that sells team sports apparel.
When you woke up, did you feel that appreciation right away? Or are you feeling it, like, retroactively right now that I'm asking you? Does that make sense?
I think I feel it kind of every day. You know, like I said, I'm not, I don't go to church as often as I probably should. But, you know, it's a culture for me now to every time I pass in front of a church, you know, tip my hat, you know, make a cross, you know, of, you know, my head and my chest and my brain. Just to show that I kind of have faith in something. Because I think we all need that at some point. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have faith in anything and live life a little lost. And I went through that phase in a moment where I wasn't as faithful as I am now.
That faith and that outlook comes not only because he sees all the homeless people on his commute, but also because his uncle on his mom's side recently died. And that loss kind of had this reset effect on him a little bit, to the point where now he's just grateful for the basics: food, shelter, being alive. And right around the time that he was feeling all those things on this particular morning, another man, a few miles north up in Andersonville, he was feeling a similar appreciation for the basics.
All the troubles in the world sort of melted away.
This is an ad executive, and he had that feeling of all his troubles melting away because he happened to be taking his dogs for their morning walk at the lucky moment when the sun finally broke through the clouds. Sunshine for the first time in what felt like forever.
Sun coming over the lake. The, like, bright green leaves that are coming out right now because it's spring.
A few hours have passed. It's 11 a.m., so most of Chicago is awake by this point. And at a law firm, there's this young lawyer. He's been at the firm for the last 3.5 years, and he's about to have a clash with his boss.
My boss and I got into a major fight, and he went to the bathroom and said, "When I get back, come into my office and shut the door behind you." And I freaked out a little bit. That was the worst.
What? Can you tell me any details about what led
to
the argument?
Not really. It's a law firm, so I don't want to go into details, but yeah, it was not great. Just how the business is being run, our differing ideas on it. And so then I go in his office, sit down, and it was amazingly pleasant. I was fearing the worst when you say that kind of thing to someone. Fearing the worst, and we basically just both explained our situation, and we left on such a positive note. I was literally like, I might get fired right now, I have no idea. But he was like, "I think that you have very good ideas." And he's like, "I think we've been doing it wrong recently. So let's try it." And
so after a moment of terror that he'd lose his job, a total 180. What started as a fight ended with him getting this policy that he came up with pushed through the necessary channels. And he wouldn't get specific about what the policy was, but he called it this watershed moment in his career.
I'm glad I was honest, and I think that the best managers recognize that you don't just hire people to tell you what you want to hear, especially in a law firm. You want people that can come up with some ideas, even when they differ with yours. So I'm glad I was honest, and I'm glad I said my piece, and I'm glad I didn't chicken out and just become a yes man for all these things. And I'm glad that more glad that he recognized that.
Did he surprise you by kind of coming around, or
shocked me? Yeah, shocked me.
Why? Why was it such a shock?
He's just a very aggressive, go-getting type A, and this was a kind of a major overhaul of some things that I just felt were not going the right way. And for it to all kind of just come out in like 15 minutes and change it all was mind-blowing to me. So I hope I'm right about some things.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have some runway to test your...
Yeah, really.
Test your system.
Hope I don't fuck it up.
Now, right around the time that he and his boss were resolving their issues and moving forward, in a suburb just south of the city, a granddaughter pays a visit to her grandmother.
She has dementia and cancer, and it's spreading like throughout her body. So, yeah.
This is a 25-year-old, and she is getting her master's degree in nursing and public health. And she's talking about this midday visit to her only surviving grandparent.
Her eyes popped open, and she smiled at me. And, like, that was, like, the best moment of my day is, like, giving her a hug. In this moment, it was an exchange of, like, a hug and a kiss and, like, her waking up from, like, a cat nap.
That simple moment of recognition, it's a rare treasure given her grandmother's dementia. But a few minutes later, an accident.
She, like, was trying to, like, get up and use the restroom. And she's in a lot of pain, so, like, a lot of times we have to, like, help her and stuff. But she was going so fast, and she couldn't make it in time. And it was just, like, hard to, like, because I know she, like, probably felt, like, very, like, upset. And, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, at that age and just, like, dealing with things like that, like, it makes you, like, kind of feel like you're losing, like, your dignity in a way when stuff like that does happen. Just to see, like, I guess, like, a moment of decline in, like, a clear moment. That was, like, kind of intense for me.
All right, it's early afternoon now. And back downtown, our retail worker, the one who works at the sports apparel shop, woke up so thankful for the basics. He was about to have an intense experience of his own.
I've been working in retail. I hate to say this, but you see shit a lot. You know, especially working down here in the downtown area of Chicago.
About 2 p.m., customer walks into the store and notices some team flags that were on sale. And they're those cheap pennant flags. They're made out of felt. So if you fold them, the crease stays, leaves a crease. And those flags happen to be on clearance. So the customer, he wants to buy about 50 of them.
We're still in flags that were on clearance. And he bought about 50 in total, which is a bulk, and like about 40 of those flags were, you know, I wouldn't say standard, but they were more of the cheap kind of flags where if you fold it, they'll crease. So he was looking for the ones that weren't really bent, you know, and was asking, you know, what's the best way to transport these? I'm like, sir, we don't have, you know, what you're asking for. And was asking for like, things we don't sell, you know, like cardboard and bubble wrap and all this extra. I mean, he spent like 10 minutes.
Customer asked for cardboard, bubble wrap, masking tape, scotch tape, all kinds of materials to make this sleeve so that he could carry all his precious new flags.
I was going in my desk and getting scotch tape and fucking masking tape and shit. And I'm like, really, dude, it's a flag. It's like a $3 flag.
And you're in a clothing store.
And I'm in a clothing store, you know?
A clothing store, not an arts and crafts store.
I mean, you hear it all, man. You hear it all, you know? That's why, like, nowadays when I go to retail stores or something, I kind of don't try to be a dick.
Now, right as he was dealing with that demanding customer, just a mile down Michigan Avenue, remember the lawyer who woke up in the hotel room lamenting the presidency of Donald Trump? Well, she is about to hatch a plan that she had in the works.
I had decided this was what I wanted to do. And so I was like researching, one, how do girls propose to dudes?
A girl about to propose to her dude. Now, if you'll recall, they're from Wyoming.
And so I came up with the idea of Lurie Gardens in the Millennium Park.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful spot.
Beautiful spot. Not as private as I maybe had been led to believe based on my research.
Despite the crowd, she's able to secure a bench in the gardens. Problem was finding a window of privacy from other tourists.
Like, I had my hand on the ring box in my bag, and this family, it was a mom, a dad, and a little girl. The little girl was probably 7 or 8. Come up to our bench. And they were trying to, the dad was trying to convince the girl, the little girl, to go, like, crawl into the tree area. And the little girl was like, no, no, it's against the rules, blah, blah, blah.
Which, we're both lawyers. So we're like, yes, so like, it is against the rules.
Sitting there on this bench, and I'm like, my hand's on the ring, and my back. And, like, they're, like, right on the bench that we're sitting on. It was ridiculous.
The dad and the little girl, they leave the vicinity. So she's got this window to propose to her boyfriend. And FYI, they've been dating for 2 years. She asks,
did you do the whole on one knee thing?
No. One, my knees hurt from being old.
She's 32. Let's be clear about this.
He says yes.
And how surprised were you?
So, when we got to the gardens and she was like, I would like to find a secluded space, I was like, okay, this is happening.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not easy to surprise.
He is very, very hard to surprise.
I tend to think three moves ahead, I'm afraid.
That wasn't the only romantic moment happening in Chicago right about then. As we check back in with the man in South Shore. And this is the guy who woke up so stressed out about paying his rent.
Let's say, like, 2?
2 p.m.?
Yeah.
It's 2 p.m. He's got $100 to his name, but he gets to lay eyes on his girlfriend.
Our face. Like, me seeing our face, I was happy.
You were happy when you saw her face?
Yeah, I was like, oh, she's too pretty. You feel me? Like, I was just happy, like, I see how someone, like, you know, that joy, like, aww.
So that feeling, that warm and fuzzy feeling, leads to a little mid-afternoon romp, all right? And that's enough to forget about his bank account balance, if only for a short time. It is evening now, so most people's workday has come to an end. And that 27-year-old salesman, remember the one who works for the steel company who had such a hard time getting out of bed to face his day? He makes it through, and the high point of his day is about to happen at a crowded grocery store in Ravenswood.
Going to the Mariano's buffet and getting, you know, a container full of chicken and ribs and mac and cheese and just maxing out on that. Had a cookie.
Maxed out buffet container, topped off with a cookie. What could be better, right? But while that guy's troubles are behind him, presumably until he wakes up to go to the same job tomorrow, two other people's challenges for the day are just beginning.
So I got there tonight and to see what she was complaining about to the world about my unit.
We're checking back in with our cardiac arrest survivor. This is the one that woke up thankful to be alive. And his day is not ending well. And also, remember the guy who had such a great morning walk with his dogs? That sunshine, the walk that melted all his problems away?
What I'm doing right now is heading to the emergency room to potentially sit till late into the night.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
we
company.
We do.
Enough to work together
I
and
think
have
so.
Three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No,
this
that's correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Picking up where we left off, it's now late evening in Chicago. And at this point, a major rainfall is about to flood the streets. And the cardiac arrest survivor, remember, he's 57 years old. He's headed up to the north side. He needs to check out this condo he owns and that he rents out on Airbnb. He's an Airbnb host.
You know, I'm not a fancy hotel.
Far from it. His unit, it's a 3-bedroom that he also leases to a permanent tenant.
I have a tenant who doesn't help that situation.
Okay.
She's a pig. She's a pig.
So with a tenant like that, plus being an Airbnb host, the following was bound to happen.
Just a couple of days ago, I I got a bad review. My first bad review as a host.
And what did the person say?
Oh, she was saying things like, there was... And now they know this because I put it in my listing. Oh, you know what? I sat down and I got up and there was cat hair on my leg, on my pants. Like, okay, well, there's a cat in house. It was a feline.
And you say that there's a cat in
my posting. In my posting, right? And and also in her complaint was that she heard noise from the neighbors above. Well, I'm in a 3-flat, and it's, come on, you're going to hear. I know my neighbors, I lived there. You know, I don't now, but I know my neighbors upstairs. And I've had neighbors very loud, but they're gone, long gone. And I have a towel rack in the bathroom, and one towel is a monogram towel. It's got a P in it. I don't use it, never did. It's there for decoration. I put a stack of towels that can be used first on the sink. It's a nice double sink, right? And she's complaining about a white towel with yellow staining. And so when I got there to clean up her mess, I looked at the white towel. I don't have white towels. But I saw that white towel on the counter, and the yellow was from, not from urine, as most people will read that and assume.
It's urine.
Yeah. It's just age. It's been there forever.
In her review, the woman not only complained about cat hair, the noise level, that stained towel, she was also perturbed that there was only men's body wash in the bathroom, not women's. Also, no hair dryer.
Yeah, that was the worst moment because although I read that review the other day, now when I went there and I started seeing what she embellished on and what she exaggerated on, that has to be the worst moment of my day. She wanted a hair dryer. And so things that I can improve on, I should provide a hair dryer and a shampoo and body wash, apparently for both genders.
So while he was reflecting on that bad review, especially the hair dryer comment,
get a hair dryer. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it.
Another man whose day also started out great is about to get a reality check.
I don't even know where to start with the story.
This is the ad exec. He's the one who had that glorious morning walk with his dogs. So late today, he gets a phone call from his sister. She lives in Virginia. And turns out she's got a son. This guy's nephew, he's in his 20s, who recently moved to Chicago.
My sister just texted and said, check in on Matt. He says the pain's gotten worse and he doesn't know what to do. I think he needs to go to the ER.
His nephew has been dealing with abdominal pain now for about a week. But tonight, that pain intensified. So right now, he's headed to that nephew's house, which is likely just a pit stop on the way to the hospital, with a loved one in pain.
It's been sort of acute for 2 or 3 days. And he got some pain medication or some sort of medication yesterday to kind of quiet it down. And it didn't. It just got worse.
All right, it's now 9 p.m., and we're back on the south side checking in one more time with the guy who woke up so stressed out about his rent. Now, if you'll recall, his troubles temporarily vanished when he saw his girlfriend at 2 p.m. But now it's evening, and he has someone else to visit.
I'm bi, though. You feel me?
You're bi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second to my other friend, who's a guy.
Again, in case you missed that, he says he's bi, and he also had a guy to visit. Tonight, him and his guy, as he put it, did stuff.
So who are you happy to see, your guy or your girl? You gotta choose one, man. And it's just for today. It could be different tomorrow. But...
Who must? That was a difficult question, too. Woo! Well, she got her own part. He got his own part.
His own part?
Yeah, like, he has, like, I like him for something. I like her for something, you feel me? Let me say the guy.
Yeah, it turns out the girl's role in his life is multi-purpose.
I'm using the girl, like, as a cover-up, you feel me?
Oh, okay.
Cover-up in the sense that no one's going to, like, you feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that no one's going to find out that he has sex with guys, too. And on this particular day, with both.
I'm tired. That's what I said. I'm tired.
Okay.
Because you have sex with your girlfriend, then you have sex with your guy again. Now you're tired.
Yeah.
Trust me, I am tired.
And now, is the girl okay with...
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know?
I'm down low.
You're down low. Does she know you're bi?
No.
She doesn't?
She doesn't. And I'm not planning to tell her.
And you're what?
I'm not planning to tell her. She's gonna die. She's gonna kill herself. Gonna kill herself. Like, she's gonna, like.
Does your guy know about the girl?
Yeah, he knows.
So he doesn't care?
Well, to a point, he does. He's like, why would you have a girlfriend? Like, why? Like, no one knows about me. Like, do you want my family to die? Like, do you want them to kill me or something? Like, do you want them to be like. Oh my fucking God, you gay! Oh Jesus!
At this point, the day is about over. But there's a Lyft driver who's still out on the roads, and he's a little bit different than the other drivers out there because his car is outfitted with recording equipment. And it's because he has this podcast where he interviews the passengers who end up in the backseat of his car. And tonight, this driver is fixated on the word quotidian, which he recently learned means ordinary or everyday or mundane. And because of this odd fixation, he's asking passengers an odd question, something specific, something quotidian.
When you go to an Airbnb, do you expect there to be a hairdryer?
A hairdryer? I guess, yeah. Yeah, I would. Even though I went with all guys, I would expect that to be an accommodation available.
A standard?
For guys or girls.
Standard.
Yeah, I would think so.
You do an Airbnb, do you expect there to be a hairdryer?
I would say no.
Say no?
Yeah.
How come?
Does anybody use hairdryers anymore? I don't even think in hotel rooms they're standard, but maybe they are.
All right, everybody, the quotidian day in Chicago is over. And for me, that is it for this week. But a couple of housekeeping things before I go. If you are liking the show and want to talk about it with other listeners, I would love it if you joined us in the Backseat Rider community group on Facebook. It's really cool. There's a lot of cool discussions going on in there. Just ask to join and one of the moderators will approve you. Also, to share your own stories on Backseat Rider topics, you can always send emails and voice notes to me at backseatrider1@gmail.com. That's just backseatrider1@gmail.com. Or give the Backseat Rider hotline a call. The number there is 312-709-4667. Also, if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, one more reminder to do so using my promo code, which is, again, just the name of this podcast, Backseat Rider, all one word. You just punch that into the payment tab when you sign up. You'd be helping me out a lot, and you'd also be getting a bunch of free ride credit. All that information is in the show notes for your convenience. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin and produced by me with the help of Louis Kazmarek. Also, a big thanks to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. One more quick thing I want to mention before I go. A couple weeks ago, Backseat Rider, this podcast, crossed the 1 million download milestone or marker. I'm really psyched about it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for telling your friends about it, your family members. I'm so appreciative and can't thank you enough. I'm so glad that the show is connecting and you guys make all this possible for me to keep doing, really. I mean, the sponsors help, but without you listening, there's no sponsors. So thank you so much, everybody. I really, really appreciate it. All right, look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.